Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schankelberg, and Carl Carlson just sat down. And Carl, is it in the time of day when you would have a cup of coffee, or is it getting a little late for that?
No, it's perfect.
Right, perfect time.
Well, all time is perfect time.
That's true. That's very true. So what's new? What have you been working on lately?
Well, I've been doing a lot of traveling with clients, and we're wintering in Texas, so I use Houston as a base, and then spend 1 week with the family and grandkids, and the next week with a client somewhere. So I've been going back and forth on that, waiting out the winter in Michigan.
Jeez, now it's work-life balance and climate balance.
Yes.
So what are you seeing with your clients these days? Is there any patterns or trends that you're seeing?
Very much focused on design for reliability. More and more clients that I'm seeing are conversant with and prioritizing DFR in their activities. And I mean, that's sort of a broad comment, but I'm taking the long view here. You know, we've been involved in this for 30 plus years, and the trend is definitely more towards prevention. Finally. Towards prevention. Always, everyone's got focus around assurance and testing, but more focus on prevention than I've seen in the past.
You know, I wonder if some of that's just the people that recognize they need to move away from just testing, then call a consultant. And so I'm wondering how widespread it really is.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So it might be looking in inside out rather than outside in,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah. Now, Adam and I had a discussion a couple of weeks ago about reliability plans. And I know that you run into that as you work with clients and build plans. And you and I are working on how do you build a reliability plan in a book is part of that. But, you know, what else are you seeing concerning plans these days?
Yeah, Fred, it's really interesting. You hear the phrase reliability plan, and you think that there must be some guidance somewhere or some common definition of what a reliability plan is. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing is the opposite, which is some companies have a very structured reliability plan, and others have a very loose, fluffy reliability plan. And it's interesting that and I have my own strong views, and I know you do too, on what is the essence of a reliability plan itself. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm seeing is recently I was at a company, and they brought me in to help them develop the reliability plan, which they've been working on for months. And so I obviously took a look at where they were. And their plan was essentially a series of guidance statements and some goals and some numbers and some, I'll call it philosophy. Mm-hmm, but there were no tasks. Nothing in the plan said who was going to do what specifically. And I've seen that quite often where some people in some companies call a reliability plan really is not a plan. A plan, in my mind, is what are you specifically going to do? It can have some introductory statements that guide what you're going to do, but the essence of the plan are tasks. I'll call them step-by-step tasks. Mm-hmm. And they're not just at a high level. So you might say, we bought a house and we need to upgrade the house or recondition the house. And one of the steps might be to paint a room. So the plan would not just say paint a room. that would might be a high level statement, but that's not enough. We'd say paint one step one, paint the room. Step 1A is decide on color. 1B is go buy the paint. 1C is prepare the walls, etc.
Right, right. The details. And so you start doing like a work breakdown structure where who's going to do what, when, and how long are they going to take?
Yeah.
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 And you need that level of detail to know what investment to put into it. And how much is this going to cost and how much time is it going to take?
Exactly. And you need that level of detail to get management engaged so they can support the specific tasks and provide the resources, allocate the budget, help on execution. The step-by-step tasks seem to be missing in a lot of reliability plans that I've seen. How about yourself?
I guess I'm more on the I don't know, maybe the fluffy side. I've seen plans that border on policy, basically, with more of an emphasis on the culture of, and maybe it's more appropriate to call it a reliability program policy or with some details in it for a particular project, where it's goals and apportionment and risk assessment and answering questions. Because the danger I've seen, where I've seen programs and plans that are nothing but do this test, do this test, do this test, and they list 15 or 20 tests. They might do an FMEA, but they're not connected. They're
right.
Isolated elements. So I've seen, I think my experience has been more of the latter, where it's a list of nothing but tasks, but they're disconnected and isolated from each other in the goal is to check them off rather than to learn anything.
Right, right.
So it
misses the thread, the common thread that ties them together.
Right, right. And we have to have the details. And what I've typically have in my work, it's been, here's the goal, the large structure, a one-page flowchart basically for management to understand the process and what they're expecting to have when they need to sit down and make decisions. And then for, say, an accelerated life test that gets called for or is deemed necessary at some point, then you have an accelerated life test plan that says, here's the failure mechanism, here's the chambers, here's the how we're going to measure it, here's the statistics background. Because if you put, you know, buy the paint, choose a color and buy the paint and prep the walls and so on in one document for all of the things that need to be done, it's 500 pages, right? So I tend to go with the, here's the project that the project manager needs. Here's the big blocks. And then for the details of, say, a HALT test, then there's a HALT test plan that hangs underneath it.
Perfect.
So
all integrates. Yep.
Right. I try to provide that organizing structure so that decision makers know where they need to be involved in providing resources and making decisions. But then the engineers and technicians are focusing on the individual documents that they have the charter to go do. But they have access to the overall project plan, which then says, here's how it fits together. Here's where your deadlines are and structure is. I think there's too much hazard in focusing on nothing but the step one, step two, step three, because it comes to checklists.
Yeah, I agree. What I try to do in mine is to do both the overall thread, the I'll call it the summary, the guidance, as well as tasks. And so in other words, we're going to do a system reliability model would be a task, which might require someone going off to training, that type of thing. But my original comment in terms of the essence of reliability plan is I've seen too many reliability plans that have no tasks at all, that are merely statements of the way things ought to be in a very general sense, but not a plan of how to get there.
Yeah, I would agree. I've seen some where it's they say, well, the reliability plan is built into our project plan. And on page 17 is the warranty goal is some percentage. And that's the only reference to anything to deal with reliability at all.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, that, yeah. You know, that's kind of missing both elements, I think, of.
Yes, indeed. So maybe some guidance to listeners would be to do both, to have in your plan, to have the common thread, the big picture of how it all comes together, as well as some tasks. And yes, I agree with you, Fred. You can refer to existing documents. In other words, perform accelerated life testing according to document ABC. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have the sub-steps for ABC. As long as they exist somewhere. If they don't exist at all, if you've never done accelerated life testing, then one of the tasks might be to develop a procedure.
Yeah, or go figure it out. Yeah,
that's
one of my first projects, or my actual first exposure to reliability engineering was my boss says, how long will this last? It was one of our new products, I don't know. So I quickly created a set of tasks of, you know, I went to a conference, accelerated life testing conference, it was Life Data Analysis Journal had a small conference to get put together and met Wayne Nelson, actually, mm-hmm. and a handful of others, and just peppered him with questions like, well, what do I do now? How do I get this started? And, bought a book, did a bunch of research, looked at the types of testing that we were already doing on products and asking a lot of questions of why. But what very quickly came back to was going back to my boss saying, all right, well, I need 5 years and $5 million and 100,000 samples, and I need a new computer to analyze all the data. He says, no. This has to fit within our program. This project is, we need to make a decision in about 6 months whether we're going to ship this new product or not. And will it meet this major customer's requirements? Mm-hmm. And so I think when I think of a reliability plan and the essence of it, I agree that the what you're going to do by when has to have some structure to it, and actually then also has to circle back and fit with what the larger product development plan, or you're bringing up a new plant, what are those timelines and sets of constraints? Mm-hmm. You know, you and I could sit down and create the perfect reliability plan with air quotes here in complete isolation. And it would be completely worthless to anybody.
It'd be worthless, yeah, exactly.
Because it has to fit into all the other constraints that go with creating a new thing or a new product.
It does. It has to fit into the culture. It has to fit into the timeline. It has to fit into the capability, the budget. There's a lot of constraints. One other thought, Fred, that comes to mind is in terms of what a reliability plan is not. Is just a series of goals. Mm-hmm. I've seen reliability plans that say, well, let's make sure we are best in class and we achieve, you know, such and such reliability. It, in essence, becomes the plan.
I thought you were going to say a reliability growth curve is somebody does the calculation and says, well, we think we have a beta of 0.3 because we kind of pay attention to it. So in our program, here's how it's going to progress. And then if you mm-hmm. ask the question of, well, how do you make that progress? How do you actually improve the reliability of your system? Oh, no, that's just a curve. That's our plan.
Yes. Yeah. So we agree that is what is not a reliability plan.
That's right. Well, I think there is a role, though. You know, I'm being facetious a little bit, but there is a role for how reliable do you need to be at various checkpoints, and how are you going to measure it?
Absolutely.
I remember one time, I don't know if I told you this story before or not, but I was doing an assessment and I was talking to a team of engineers about their product development process and how reliability fit into it. And the first question for each person was, well, what's the goal? What's the reliability goal? Mm-hmm. And each one said exactly the same thing. And I said, well, that's encouraging. They all know what it is. But I asked the first one, says, well, what do you do with that information? How do you use the goal for what you're doing? And he said, well, it's a really stringent and difficult goal to achieve given our technology and what we're trying to do. So I buy the best components. I do all this derating analysis. I do all of this testing. I have to gold plate everything with just to have a chance to meet that goal. And I asked the second person the exact same sequence. And he said, well, it's actually a pretty easy goal to achieve. We don't have trouble with that. It's not a big deal. I focus on cost. I reduce cost and time to market priorities. I don't pay attention to it too much. It's going to be fine. And then I asked the third person, the manager, and she said, well, we don't know how to measure it, so nobody pays attention to it. And I certainly don't.
Yes. Yeah, that's more common than we'd like to admit.
Yeah. And so the task part of what you're talking about is how you in within that structure of if you have a goal and you really want to achieve it, well, how are you actually going to go do that? And Sometimes it's reduce uncertainty by understanding process capability, or it might be understand how long this critical component will last given a failure mechanism, accelerated life test, or it might be what are the risks. But I think of it as the reliability plan at some level is a set of questions about how am I going to get there? What do I need to know? And then the tasks are the way we're going to answer those questions.
Exactly, Fred. If we're going to climb a mountain, it's good to understand the mountain. It's good to see the mountain. It's good to frame where you need to go. But at some point, you have to figure out what your path is going to be.
That's right. and whether it's safe as you go.
Yes.
Yeah. No, so I think we've got a pretty decent essence of a reliability plan there. Now, I think it also has the messages that there's no one plan that works. The plan you used for the last program is probably needs work before it's going to be useful for what you're doing now.
Exactly right.
Yeah. But let's wrap it up here. That sounds like a pretty good chunk of a message. And hopefully, if nothing else, as a listener, hopefully you take away a couple of things to think about as you look at your own plan. But as you do that, let us know. Let us know what questions you have or what ideas you have. I mentioned just briefly that Carl and I are working on some projects, and we'd really like to know what you're struggling with is as you either create or implement plans in within your reliability projects and programs. Let us know what keeps you up at night or what things you struggle with, because one, we'd like to talk about it here on the show, but also we'd like to include it in the book work that we're doing and in possibly future courses. And so we're looking forward to doing that too. So Carl, I think we'll wrap it up here. Does that sound good?
Sounds good, Fred. Thanks for the conversation.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.